From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Aras Peña with your state and local news update. Alaska's Department of Fish and Game is raffling off permits for some of its most sought-after hunts in the state. As Claire Strempel reports for Alaska's Energy Desk, officials hope to make up for a decrease in hunting license sales during the pandemic.
Tickets are already on sale for what's called Alaska's Super 7 Big Game Raffle. If it sounds kind of like buying a lottery ticket for a muskox, it is. Or another one of the seven most sought-after species in the state, like a brown bear or a caribou. Tony Cavalock with Fish and Game's Division of Wildlife Conservation hopes raffling off special hunts will help make up for COVID-19-related budget shortfalls.
We saw close to $2 million revenue loss in the wildlife division this last year because of COVID, primarily because of the significant or steep decline in non-resident license sales this last year.
Cavalock says COVID-19 travel restrictions and the closure of the spring brown bear hunt meant non-resident hunting license sales were way down this year. He says another reason the division wants to raise money is to be able to match some federal dollars. States get cash from a tax on firearms and ammunition sales, and firearms and ammunition sales are trending way up. But states only get the money if they can match $1 for every three federal dollars.
So it's a very important situation right now because with license revenue flat or declining and our federal dollars, our federal match dollars going up, it's going to be really important to have that additional funding.
The raffle is the first of its kind in Alaska, but other states like Arizona and Wyoming have similar systems. In Wyoming, the raffle raised more than $1 million this year. The Alaska raffle is open to residents and non-residents. Avid sportsmen like Lewis Cusack say these are once-in-a-lifetime hunts.
If you're really looking for a really, really nice animal for that species, these areas are the premium areas in the state that have them.
Cusack lives in Chugiak and says he started hunting when he was in diapers. He says wild game is his primary food source. He's also the executive director of the Alaska chapter of Safari Club International. It's one of the nonprofits that's partnered with the state to run the raffle. It donated a tag and will sell tickets. Most of the money goes back to Fish and Game, but Safari Club International can spend 30% on a conservation project of its choice. For most of these hunts, only a tiny percentage of the hunters who usually put in for a tag gets one. And those tags often show up on auction for big money. But a raffle ticket is only $20, and that's important to Cusack.
You don't have to own a Learjet. You don't have to be able to afford to spend thousands of dollars.
Raffle tickets are on sale through mid-April. Winners will be announced May 1st. Hunters age 10 and older are eligible. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Claire Strempel.
In 2020, a year of widespread financial hardship, Alaska's housing market was surprisingly strong. As interest rates fell and many Alaskans began working remotely, the demand for homes and home prices soared. Is this a sign of strength amid great economic uncertainty? As Alaska Public Media's Abby Collins reports, the answer is complicated, in part because the housing market's upswing doesn't account for thousands of Alaskans who are struggling to make ends meet.
Mara Hill knew she wanted to buy a house in Anchorage in 2020. She'd reached a point where she felt emotionally and financially ready to make the purchase. And then?
About a year and a half ago, I went to a psychic for the first time. And she told me that I was in a year of my life where I was like really well poised to make financial decisions or changes. So she recommended if I was going to buy, sell, or trade anything, this be the year to do it. And that gave me like the final little push I needed to dive into buying a house.
Hill says she was lucky. Despite the pandemic, she had job security and could afford to look for a house. But her search didn't quite go as planned. She initially wanted to buy a home on the city's west side where she grew up.
I like pretty quickly realized I was not competitive enough for the places that I was initially looking.
What Hill saw while looking for houses is similar to many others in Anchorage trying to buy a house in 2020. According to data from the Alaska Multiple Listing Service, average single-family home sales were the highest they've been in the last 10 years. The same goes for average single-family home prices.
I have never worked in a market where there's been such a bidding war for properties.
That's Connie Yoshimura. She's been in the real estate business in the Anchorage area for about 40 years. Yoshimura says the market usually slows down in the winter, but not in 2020. She says the competitiveness carried over into the new year, with buyers continuing to outnumber sellers. Buyers who are sometimes offering tens of thousands of dollars more than the asking price. Yoshimura says there are a few things compelling people to buy. Historic low interest rates, a few years of underbuilding in Anchorage, and more philosophically.
Everyone, I think, emotionally, intellectually, socially, is sort of has taken this year to sort of reevaluate their life and where do I want to live and how do I want to live.
Alaska saw record unemployment during the pandemic. And while there were significant job losses in areas like the oil industry, many of the losses were concentrated among lower-paying jobs. Nolan Clauda with the University of Alaska Center for Economic Development says many Alaskans with higher-paying jobs actually ended up in pretty good financial shape.
They can work from home. Their bank accounts are in pretty good shape. You know, the stock market's doing well, so their retirement accounts are doing pretty well. And interest rates are low, so it's easy for them to get financing for large purchases like houses, if that's the case.
At the same time, Clauda says many Alaskans are really struggling and experiencing housing insecurity.
It's a very strange dynamic to see that, homes could sell so quickly at such high prices on one hand, and then also that a large number, particularly of renters, are really quite worried about their ability to hang on to their housing.
Nearly 30,000 Alaskans recently applied for rental assistance from the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. CEO Brian Butcher says while homeowners have been impacted by the pandemic too, there are disproportionate number of renters facing employment impacts. Clauda says while the housing trend does indicate confidence in the economy, it's hard to say for sure whether it's really a sign of economic health.
I don't really view it as being overall that good of a sign. Now, it is good. Now, the fact that people are buying is a bit of a vote of confidence in the economy. So you can see that as good. And you can say that at least some portion of households are doing well. But at best, I think it's a very mixed bag if we're trying to read it as a sign for our economy overall and its health.
In some ways, Clauda says housing trends like this can actually present a barrier to economic growth. It can make it harder for people to move here, meaning it can be more difficult for employers to fill jobs. In Anchorage, I'm Abby Collins.
Governor Mike Dunleavy has proposed a new bill to boost independent oversight and planning for the Alaska Marine Highway System. In a statement Wednesday, the governor says the legislation would improve reliability and efficiency of the fleet to serve coastal Alaska for years to come. Dunleavy, a Republican, has targeted the ferry system for deep budget cuts during his 2 years as governor, but the new bill is aimed at sharpening the Marine Highways strategy. The legislation would replace an existing Marine Transportation Advisory Board with a new panel required to draft regular short and long-range plans for the fleet. Robert Venables, chair of the existing Marine Transportation Advisory Board, says those types of plans are sorely needed and were a key recommendation of a Marine Highway Working Group convened by the governor.
In spite of the fact that the state has a Southeast Transportation Plan, which is woefully out of date, there's never really been a long-term plan specific to the Marine Highway System.
The 10-member Operations and Planning Board's members would be appointed and removed by the governor. Sitka Democratic Representative Jonathan Christ-Tompkins called Dunleavy's bill an incremental improvement. He wants the ferry system's leaders to be fully insulated from shifting political winds, and he says the legislation wouldn't accomplish that.
All we're talking about is advisory, 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 sort of going on bended knee to the powers of DOT about, managing the system better. And I don't think anything's going to change unless the management power and governance fundamentally is depoliticized with a ferry system, and this bill doesn't do that.
For more, go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.